You're listening to ESPN 100.3 FM, KLRZ, La Rose, New Orleans, and the River Region.
It's the Sports Hangover with Gus Kattengill.
Hello, sports fans.
Well, hello there.
Local sports, national sports. The GCAT has got you covered.
Oh, you made a wise choice, my friend.
Time to tee it up and let it fly. It's the Sports Hangover with Gus Kattengill.
Check it out, George.
It is game night. Your New Orleans Pelicans game 3 against the Portland Trail Blazers. 8 p.m. tip time. Catch it on NBA TV, or are you one of the lucky folks that will be in the sold-out Smoothie King Center? Both games, the team announcing yesterday afternoon, are sellouts. So the SKC, the blender, will be popping with noise. Looking forward to talking about that coming up bottom of the hour. Mr. Jake Madison, what kind of adjustments will the Portland Trailblazers be making into tonight's game? We'll break that game down here a little bit as well. Next segment, though, it is Pepito's favorite day. Is it Pepito's favorite day? I don't know. A lot of different people's favorite day, the NFL schedule release party tonight. I don't know if you're having a party or not, but it is. This evening, 6 p.m., 7 p.m., I think NFL Network has a special. It's in the evening. It's when everything will start coming out. The leaks will be throughout the show more than likely. I'll let you know if anything comes out. We'll touch on the schedule. It's a question of the day that we threw out there as well at ESPN Radio NOLA. Who would you like to see the Saints open up the season with? Who would you like it? Do you want to get one of the tougher teams out of the way early? Does that even exist? Does that even make sense? Because the Saints' schedule this year is at the Jags, hosting the Cardinals, at the Chargers, that's on CBS, hosting the Rams, the team they'll face later on in the year. And of course, you know, the last preseason game, nobody really plays. Your home schedule, Eagles, Skins, Browns, Steelers, and Rams. Away, Dallas, Giants, Ravens, Bengals, and Vikings. Anybody on that list, obviously you have the NFC South teams. Who would you like the Saints to start with? Do you want to get some of these teams out the way earlier rather than later? Especially trying to think of some possible cold games. I don't know, for some reason we always like to focus on how cold it will be for those road games. Baltimore, New York, Cincinnati, Minnesota's indoors. So there's only three games on the road that possibly could be cold, frigid. Snow. Cincy, Baltimore, New York. Again, I don't think that's really an issue for this team. But it'll be something you'll look at, right? Well, this game's in December. It's over there. The good thing about it is this. For the most part, that December schedule, when you look at it, it has been for the last several years. Three of the last four, for the most part, I think, are division games. One way or another, either three straights or three of the last four inside of it mixed in with another game. So the chances are New York, Baltimore, Cincinnati, it's really one of three games I think that could maybe happen in December to where it's like fridge or something like that. You understand what I'm getting at? Mostly the last several years, the Saints have closed with division opponents. So chances are they probably avoid the frigid game. They may not. Either way, it looks at like it'll be okay. I don't know. Where will the gauntlet be? Look, you got some tough teams when you look at that schedule. No doubt. Minnesota, Philly. They played for the NFC Championship game. Philadelphia, defending Super Bowl champs. Will Carson Wentz be ready? What if you play Philly to kick off the season? Will he be ready week one? Maybe he comes back a little later. I don't know. He spoke this week as offseason workouts began. He says he's on track and he's feeling good. Do you want to start with the Rams early on at home? That team's all in. They have just been acquiring everything. They'll be tough. Steelers on a pushover either. Browns and Skins. I think Cleveland will be a much better team this year. But of course, this is what we're going to do, right? We're going to look at the schedule. Where are the wins? Dude, that's the schedule. I just gave it to you. NFC South teams, Plus, at home, Eagles, Skins, Browns, Steelers, Rams. NFC South teams away, plus Dallas, Giants, Ravens, Bengals, Vikings. Now, they're a playoff team. At least I think they are with their talent. They'll be playing a lot of playoff teams, though. Impossible playoff teams. So we'll see how the season goes out, man. But you add that schedule, and as I said, a Bucks team that a lot of people thought could have been a playoff team last year didn't. Let's see what they do. Atlanta and the Panthers were in the playoffs. So you add at least two in your division. At home, you could be playing five potential playoff teams, right? Your two division games, Falcons, Panthers, Eagles, Steelers, Rams. We're in the playoffs last year. And on the road, your two division and the Vikings. So a tougher, I mean, again, would you say you have a tougher home slate than road slate? We'll discuss that a little bit with John Hendricks, Canal Street Chronicles, coming up next segment. And also, the re-signing of another receiver coming back, as it was reported yesterday after the show ended. Coming up at 12:45, Steve Worthy, CEO and Tournament Director of the Zurich Classic of New Orleans. That is next week. So golf will be center stage. We'll be broadcasting live Thursday from the Champions Club, Friday from the Acme Oyster Tent. That's going to be awesome. We love doing those shows and being a part of it. And also, right after Thursday's show, we're just packing up, crossing the bridge, and heading to Dave and Buster's. Our draft show, our first round coverage of the NFL draft, will be at 6 o'clock. Pepito's looking forward to playing a little whack-a-mole. And you're going to lose in a game of Papa Shot. I got you.
Whack-a-mole, Cruising USA, Galaga. The favorites, the classics.
Yeah, do they have Gallagher there? They could probably.
Why not?
I just want to see you shoot a basketball. I can't picture for some reason seeing you shoot a basketball.
I wasn't all that bad at basketball.
No, I don't know. Maybe I'm reading a book by its cover wrongly.
You don't know anything about me.
I'm just clearly. I look at you and I'm like, yeah, I don't think you can. Can you make a free throw?
Describe it.
I see you just having bad form for some reason.
And why? No
bending of the knees, you know, no follow through.
And why is this?
Kind of just that the ball leaves your hand right around the chin area.
And why is this?
I don't know. That's what I'm saying. I don't know why. I just look at you. I'm like, not a shot. You can play hoops. I don't know why. Because clearly
That's
when you look
terrible.
At me, you know I'm a hooper.
No, when I see you, I see some really negative things.
No.
I see some bad things.
Man, I'm good. I'm just telling you. Ask Dino. Beat him in 21. Just saying. Just saying. College, professional player overseas, lost to me in 21.
So we have chatted about me doing Pistol Pete's homework basketball as a kid.
We have.
There you go. You also have a really bad memory. You don't remember anything.
That is very true. What's really cool is seeing Boogie Cousins on the court at Pelican shoot around. No, that is not a shot. If you look at Twitter of the Moda Center in red seats, those are red t-shirts that say, do it big. If you're at the game tonight, that's what you're going to get. It's already waiting for you at the seat. And DeMarcus Cousins with the therapist, the doctor, everybody, all flew in from L.A. And he's going to be with the team in games 3 and 4. And he's on the court right now, basketball in hand, walking boot, obviously, in the Achilles surgery as he recovers there. But he's there on the court, so maybe a little bit that extra boost to go into it. Looking forward, as we said, talking with Jake Madison about that game. Todd Graffanini, is he listening right now? I don't know if he's listening, Pepito. I wouldn't call it a bone to pick with it. We're going to congratulate him, right? We're going to congratulate him around 1:45. We're going to congratulate him and his Tulane Green Wave with a walk-off walk. To beat the LSU Tigers in baseball.
Hey, regardless, it's a game-winning call.
Walk-off walk. It is. It is a game-winning call. And something we've done in the past, we've critiqued game-winning calls. Mr. Tim Grubbs, myself, and Todd, we do play-by-play. Maybe touch them all. Timmy Grubbs will help me critique those calls because there's a little something that I think is just missing. Just a little something. Some people have thrown out his name for possible voice of the Saints. I'm trying to help him. Pepito, I'm trying to help him.
You're trying to help him?
I'm trying to help.
Stay away from him.
What? I'm trying to help.
Stay away from him.
Just trying to help a little. Also in the 1 o'clock hour, I'm going to play two videos I retweeted yesterday. One on the NFL Network, an appearance on the NFL Network on one of their shows. The other, what seems to be a little, not documentary, but a little video piece as to a player profile, I think is probably the best way to put it. Clearly sponsored by a car company. Looks like Hyundai, pretty sure, since Darius Geis is driving a Hyundai, and you see the Hyundai logo. But in both of those appearances by Darius, it did two things to me, Jason. One, you know, I always like to, there it is, pat myself on the back.
Mm-hmm.
Remember the argument I had in Shots Fired with a Brian and Ola East about how maybe Lamar Jackson could have been helped with an agent? And I was reading, some of the articles and things about how some people feel that he's doing a disservice on that, right? Some articles that come out that teams have been trying to get a hold of him as many times as seven times, can't get a hold of him. And when people talk bad about him, an agent's job normally helps to kind of create this profile and image to you. Remember, during the draft and things of that nature, we talked about how in the draft, some of the questions that he was asked was about, does your mother sell yourself? You know, does he like men? Things of that nature. We went nuts on that. Remember that? We're like, that's ridiculous.
Well, completely uncalled for. That's unnecessary.
You know, people try to justify and go, well, you know, we people are going to invest millions. I'm pretty sure people applying for CEOs or vice president positions, high level positions where they make six figures at the very least, if not seven, are being asked those questions. I could be wrong. I just have a hard time believing somebody applying and being interviewed for vice president of Shell Oil or something is going to be asked, by the way, do you like men? Do you like men? Either way, the point's neither here or there about that. What I'm making the point, though, is, and I'll play them in its entirety so you can hear it, the two segments are completely different. The one on the NFL Network is him showing the personality that, again, I don't know him, haven't hung out with him, haven't, you know, done anything other than encourage him when you see him on the field and things of that nature. But what I can take away from, and maybe I'm wrong or not, I don't think this guy is ever not smiling, right? Seems like a good kid that has gone through a lot, that shows me determination, probably focused in the right areas, and more importantly, the guy can play. Again, I understand analysis. I understand trying to look into things and trying to read out of it and get the most, you know, the due diligence and things. I get that. I also got to trust what I see with my eyes. The guy trucked over people, outran people, had people think about this. Leonard Fournette, it was a bonfire on the record books. High first-round pick, had a solid rookie year last year. Darius Geis' season in which he shared with Fournette and Leonard's last year played so well, people had the conversation, who will be the better pro? Who's better? Who can do more? People were, there were days I'm like, I think I like Darius better. That's how good he had multiple 200-yard games. Just stop and think about that for a second. Multiple 200-yard games when you have a high first-round pick in the backfield. It just doesn't happen. I mean, he's good. So it's crazy when you have all this time during these months, during these weeks, a week from the NFL draft today, and all of a sudden, you know, he's got issues. He plays video games, Pepito.
Oh, my God.
Fortnite. The teams want to invest on a guy who plays video games. But it's labeled as off the field issues.
If that's the case, then I think most professional and collegiate athletes would not have a position.
I would rather a kid sit at home with a headset playing a video game than trolling the bars and doing Lord knows what at night. Again. Anyway, it's a fun segment. Again, I'll play it next hour because you hear him debunk, like the crew, and I love this on the show. They go with, these are some of the things scout are saying about you, debunk it. And it's great. You can see the kid's attitude, man. I was like, see if teams are seeing this right now. It might make me move him up. And then the other piece, the player profile, that's 6 minutes long. And in 6 minutes and 49 seconds, it tells his story. How his father died. How he was hungry. Why your son's angry. And why he'll be motivated at the next level. 6 minutes, 49 seconds. Boom. I saw that. I sent it to a couple of people this morning, including Brian Nola East. He responded with, draft this guy. 6 minutes, 49 seconds. A, it tells you a lot about him. B, Brian, if you're listening, it's exactly why you need an agent. He didn't come up with that on his own and got that done. Somebody helped get that done. Got the deal with Hyundai, put a player profile, it's all over social media, it gets retweeted, it gets seen, and you know what? Might come across Sean, might come across Mickey, might come across any of the other teams in the NFL, and they go, man, maybe we got to take a little more look at this guy. Maybe we give him a call. Maybe he's a visit. Maybe he's a visit. He's in the first round, but maybe he moves up. Maybe he helps himself. The very least, it tells his story. And again, remember, in the last couple of weeks, off the field issues. You watch those two videos, the appearance in the NFL Network, somebody helped book him. Somebody helped got him there, Brian. That one little segment, you're like, dude, this dude's awesome. Look at him. Smiling, personality. He was doing a job interview without doing a job interview. That's why, Brian, I still win the argument. See what I just did there? There is some Lamar Jackson news, though, because he and Baker Mayfield made some news today and yesterday. Baker Mayfield on the cover of Sports Illustrated and Mike Golic going off on him this morning, on which I don't really know why. We'll touch on this here in a second, because he seems to think that the meeting with the Chargers and the fact that Baker Mayfield said he didn't completely know the playbook is disrespect on the job interview. Whatever. I got thoughts and feelings on that. And secondly, we'll touch on Lamar Jackson, a story by The Undefeated from ESPN touching on why, I think the headline is, why he will help change the NFL. So we'll do that. And also later on in the show, again, a jam-packed show, Ali LaForce's question of LeBron James has been heavily criticized by some in the sports world. Wow. I have a heavy take on that. The question was to LeBron, do you know about the passing or telling him about the news, the passing of Greg Popovich's wife? Popovich will not coach game 3 tonight against the Warriors. She'd been battling illness for a while, but she passed away yesterday. She asked the face of the NBA, the best player in the NBA, and she was destroyed by colleagues left and right and by other people on social media. And to her defense came LeBron and me. I'll defend her too. We'll do that throughout the show. John Hendricks next. Steve Worthy later this hour. Jake Madison in two segments. Todd Graffanini, Gordy Rush, Fletcher Mackel 215. He was in Portland for the first two wins. What was that like and what does he see tonight as well? Jam-packed show. Looking forward to it as hour number one, as always. Brought to you by the King Firm. Don't play the game of claims with insurance companies. If you've been injured in an accident, ring the King, 504-909-KING. You're listening to ESPN New Orleans.
right around the corner, and ESPN New Orleans wants you to enjoy it on us. Listen all week, Monday through Friday, for your chance to win one pair of tickets during the Sports Hangover. Catch Sting, Rod Stewart, Jimmy Buffett opening weekend, or Aerosmith, Lionel Richie, Steve Miller Band, and more on the final weekend for free. April 27th through the 29th, May 3rd through the 6th at the Fairgrounds, it's Jazz Fest. And we got a pair of tickets for you all this week from ESPN New Orleans.
When you're sick, you want to be close to home. World-class medicine doesn't require a trip to the city because the best care is close to home at Thibodaux Regional. We're continually adding new services, and our team of physicians has grown to more than 250. More doctors, more services, treating more conditions.
And keeping more families healthy.
World-class medicine, right here, close to home, at Thibodaux Regional.
Accidents and injuries can put your life on the sideline.
In New Orleans, there's only one king to ring when it comes to personal injury.
If you've been injured in an accident, ring the king at 909-KING.
Got a hot take?
I've got something to say.
Let's hear it. Call us at 8.
At John J. Hendricks, the way to follow John Hendricks, managing editor for Canal Street Chronicles. You can follow them at Saints CSC as well. John, how are you this afternoon?
I'm doing great, man. How about yourself?
Good. Doing well, man. Happy schedule release day. It really is a day, isn't it? I mean, people love this day.
It's like Christmas in April. It's great.
Well, it really is, honestly, the first step, right? The first piece of the new season where you actually get to see it. Once the schedule comes out, you know the dates, you know the road games, the home games, where's the gauntlet, things of that nature. It starts to take shape. I mean, we've talked to players in the past about it. They absolutely pay attention. Tomorrow morning when they go to conditioning, they're talking about it. You start taking a look at the season and begins to take shape today.
Absolutely, because you got to think, I think it was last year, I think the team traveled well over 20-something thousand miles between all their road trips to, you know, West Coast, Minnesota, all a whole bunch of things. So, look, you know, that takes a toll on somebody when you're traveling that much and you're away from home, if you're not living in actual New Orleans and stuff, or even if you're here. And, you know, fans are the same way. You know, you want to plan out your road trips. You want to make sure you have some fun times next year and home games, how they're going to shape out, and especially primetime games, because I think the Saints are due for several this year.
Ah, very good point as well. We threw it out there at ESPN Radio NOLA. Which team would you like to start the season off? Are you a division guy? Do you want to start off with a division foe? Or do you want to kind of just get rid of maybe one of the tougher teams on your schedule right off the top?
Well, look, I think division foe is nice because I think it sets the tone. But, you know, I think the way the NFL and the schedules have played out over the past few years, I think your division games kind of come in that back half of the schedule. That's that way you can, you know, if you're fighting for a division title and stuff, you got a lot of those games that'll fall. So, look, for me, I guess I would go for the jugular, man. I think that you have the Rams open up at week one at home. I think that would be a pretty cool affair. And, you know, I know the Vikings would be interesting if they do it, but I think that's Eagles and Vikings first week. I think that's more practical, but look, I'm all for get that tough opponent first week and see what you're made of.
Yeah, no, I'm with you. Let's see. I'd rather get it over with more than anything right off the top. Speaking with John Hendricks, Canal Street Chronicles, at John J. Hendricks, the way to follow on Twitter. You tweeted, and you have it as a pinned tweet back in January, a list of things the Saints needed to do in the offseason. I think it's been a productive offseason. It may not be starry and flashy here and there, but I think they added depth. They maybe got a starter or two into it in Robinson and DeMario Davison. You know, look, Cam Meredith, obviously, too, as well. So I like what they've done. If anything, John, did they check off some things that you had on your list? And B, does it allow them to do what I think, really do whatever it is you want in the draft a week from today?
Yeah, I absolutely agree. I think they came away with all my bucket list. You know, I had tight end, I had wide receiver, Cornerback, obviously, is another one. And you know, I think the only thing missing is the pass rusher. They did bring back Alex Okafor, which is a move I love. But, you know, you don't really know what you're going to get out of Al-Qadim Muhammad in his second year. You don't know what you're going to get out of Haloi Kakaha. I think that's still a position that you might look at in the draft, but I don't think it's, you know, with them not going in free agency and trying to buy a big old pass rusher, and even at cornerback, I think that does say a lot about them, especially in the belief in Ken Crawley. But, look, I'm with you in the draft. You know, the eight picks or whatever, I don't see them keeping all those. I think they're four or five that they'll have. They're going to trade up. They're going to get the players they want, and they're going to get out of this draft and, you know, just have some quality depth that comes out of this.
I've always said, too, if for some reason they can avoid the, I mean, I wouldn't even say dreaded injury bug. This guy was just a termite. He was just hungry. I mean, it wasn't normal injuries. It was almost, what, 20 players in IR? Half of those or so were starters. I mean, it was a huge, huge thing that hurt this team last year, especially in the linebacking area and on defense, and you saw it kind of take its toll towards the end there. But, John, if you get half of those back, it's a pretty good team. If you get anything out of this draft, it's a pretty good team. You add this offseason, it's a pretty good team. Expectation level of this team is pretty good. It's a tough schedule, though, John.
Definitely tough schedule. I mean, they have the second highest strength of schedule, right, tied with the Packers. And I think Lions are the first one right now. And, look, you got to realize they're playing some hard teams, right? You got Philly. You've got Los Angeles. You've got, you know, rematch with Minnesota. Plus, you got your division games. They did really well. You know, I think every year we say the Bucs are going to be better. I think they'll be better this year, you know, and then obviously the NFC East will be interesting to see how you match up against them. And then the AFC North, you kind of get a wild card there because you think the Browns are the Browns, but maybe they'll be better. You got the Ravens, who the Saints can't seem to ever beat, and the Steelers are going to be an interesting game, and so with the Bengals. So, look, I think they have some tough games ahead of them. You know, and I feel like from a schedule perspective, how they work that out, and I'm sure it'll to work in some end, but, you know, I feel like this team is a good team. I you know, if I had to put a win total on it right now, I think the expectation is at least 10 or 11 right now, based on what we saw last season. Just because you got a lot of good pieces coming back and you added a lot of good pieces, so this is a team that didn't get worse or anything by many standards. I think they got a lot better, and they're going to get a lot better with the draft.
All right, John, two final questions for you. Brandon Coleman signing back with the team yesterday, per reports. 23 receptions, 364, 3 TDs. It's funny because people hear those numbers like he really didn't do that much. Well, team high in touchdowns was actually Thomas and Kamara with 5. He had more TDs than Colby Fleener, who had 2. So, it's a player that Drew Brees and Sean Payton have talked highly about. They really like him. They didn't tender him. They didn't pay him probably a lot to get him in. It's kind of one of those things, and see if he can earn another spot again this year.
Yeah, I absolutely agree. You know, I think there's a lot of appealing traits that Coleman brings to the table. And, you know, look, I mean, Coleman's not a burner. He's not going to beat you down the field, and he's certainly not going to probably outrun you. I remember that Bears game last year. It was just, you know, Coleman is one of those guys. He comes in, he does his job, and he's overcome a good bit, and he's made his mark. And, you know, now when you're looking at the top three receivers, now you're thinking Snead and Coleman could be a training camp battle potentially. And then if they get somebody else in the mix and, you know, some of the other guys they brought in on reserve future deals like Josh Huff, it's somebody to pay attention to. And, you know, you still got Tommy Lee Lewis lingering around there. But Coleman's a smart ad. Obviously got him back cheaper than what you would have as tendering them, and I think that's the best case scenario for them.
And finally, John, again, a week from today is the NFL draft. We'll check in with you on Thursday. It's got to maybe get a little bit closer here. I had to make a pick today on an Atlanta radio station that did a mock draft. They called everybody from all the different, you know, teams and do all that. Lamar Jackson was gone. Baker Mayfield was gone. You know how I feel about the QBs and doing those things. But Hayden Hurst was gone as well. Cortland Sutton was there. I thought about maybe going there. I talked yesterday with Graf on the air. I was like, hey, maybe do I go there or not? But I went with Dallas Goedert. Now, Gesicki was there as well. Could have gone there. I think if they stay at 27 and those tight ends are there, I wouldn't be surprised if they go that direction. Ben Watson, to me, is a bridge of the next tight end on this team, an area that they definitely need. Where do you the top three players or even positions, if you want to just do it to that standpoint, do you think this team could go next Thursday?
Well, as far as positions go, I mean, I think tight end is something I'm not a huge in favor of. And if they do take a tight end, I think that kind of spells out Kobe Fleener's future for me, you know, because he's still on the roster and he could be a post-June 1st cut. You know, you don't know what's going on, especially with his condition with the concussions. But, look, that's an area that could be done. I would think more inclined that it could be a wide receiver, defensive end, or a linebacker. You know, if Harold Landry falls somehow, I think this guy has been one of the guys that I've looked at is just absolutely checks off every box for me. I would absolutely love it if he falls. Rashawn Evans is a guy that, you know, that is making some noise and could be interesting if they fall. And then Sam Hubbard is a guy I really like out of Ohio State. And that pipeline's worked before. And, you know, Hubbard's not a flashy player by any means, but he's got good technique. He's got a lot of desirable traits. And, you know, with the Saints and their rotation that they typically run at the end and as an edge defender, I mean, it would make sense. But, if you'd had your dart and that's how they drafted, I wouldn't be upset about it.
Yeah, no doubt. I've also heard, you know, guys like Leighton Vander Esch, an inside linebacker as well. Look, like I said, as we close out here, man, I think they've put themselves where they can do a lot. I don't see them moving back, though, unless they get multiple picks in the second round. Would you agree with that?
Yeah, I'd agree. I mean, that's the only way a trade would make sense. And look, I think they've got some ammo because if they see some of their players that are still on the board and they feel like they need to go get them at 22 or 23, I wouldn't be surprised if they make a trade up, sacrifice some of those later round picks, and maybe dip a little bit into next year's draft. I mean, this is Sean Payton and Mickey Loomis. And, you know, my whole argument is you felt like you could have been a Super Bowl team last year. The belief shouldn't have changed in just a few months. I think that they're going to do what they can to get everybody that they can to make another push.
I'm with you. I have a sneaky feeling that they're not going to stay at 27 one way or another. John Hendricks, thanks for giving us a little bit of your time this afternoon. Always a pleasure, man. You can be followed on Twitter at John J. Hendricks. We'll touch base next week and maybe the day after. A little draft talk as well. Thank you, man. Appreciate it.
No problem. Thanks for having me, man.
Yep. Managing editor of Canal Street Chronicles. Pepito, 2013. Why should that stand out to you, that date, that year?
Something to do with, I don't know now. Got me. Two good tees.
That was the last time the New Orleans Saints won a season opener.
Oh, look at that.
Can you believe that?
Wow.
Yeah. Four straight season opening losses by the team. And in a year where the schedule is pretty difficult, again, you could be facing as many as, at least you will be facing five playoff teams this year at home. Okay, from a year ago. Eagles, Steelers, Rams, Falcons, Panthers. At least three on the road. Vikings. And the, you know, Falcons and Panthers. You've got to get off to a good start. I mean, there is no denying you have to get off to a good start. Can't be put behind the eight ball. 2017, lost at Minnesota. 2016, lost at home against Oakland. 2015, lost at Arizona. 2014, lost at Atlanta. 2013, the last season opening win here against the Falcons. And I want to say that came on the last play on fourth and goal. The Kenny Vaccaro play, right? Gosh, that seems so long ago. Sports Hangover Hour 1 brought to you by the King Firm. Folks, they specialize in personal injury, maritime offshore, mass tort, workers' comp. Don't play the game of claims with insurance companies. If you've been injured in an accident, ring the King, 504-909-KING. KingInjuryFirm.com. Up next, Jake Madison. Previews tonight, Pels, Blazers, Game 3. What are the adjustments Portland will likely try to do? We'll do that next with him on ESPN New Orleans.
Selecting one of our Mother's Day packages or a Kronos gift card can be offer services or products in the spa or wellness center. Need help deciding exactly what or how much to get? Call them at 504-267-4549. That's 504-267-4549. Gift cards can also be purchased online at KronosBHW.com and delivered directly to you. That's KronosBHW.com. Or you can always come by Kronos at 3200 North Arnold to pick up your gift cards in person. Kronos Body Health and Wellness helps someone look and feel good inside and out this Mother's Day.
Bob Barker here for LaPush Ford Lincoln. Routine service is important to keep your car running at its best. At LaPush Ford Lincoln, we change your oil, rotate your tires, and do a complete multi-point inspection for just $39.95, including 5 quarts of premium synthetic oil. So come on down to 5870 Highway 1 in Lockwood. Let us keep your car running like it should. And don't forget, Ford guarantees the best price for name brand tires. Make LaPush Ford Lincoln your place for quality service.
Simulators. The Flagstick Golf Leagues are forming now for Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday nights. Call 504-510-5577 or go to theflagstickgolf.com or stop in at the Flagstick inside the Clearview Mall and register and compete weekly in the Golf Leagues. The Flagstick. Play, practice, party. The Flagstick.
The fun and excitement of Cakes Baseball returns to the Shrine as your New Orleans Baby Cakes take on the Colorado Springs Sky Suns April 19th. It's Bark at the Park, presented by Purina, Raising Cane's, and Alt 92.3. Bring your dog out to the Shrine on Airline to enjoy America's favorite pastime. Don't miss out, as there will be a special performance from the Dynamo Dogs. Game is at 7 and gates open at 6. For more information, visit CakesBaseball.com. And remember, the road to the big leagues goes through the Big Easy.
You love hosting a crawfish boil, but when you think of all the prep work and all the cleanup, don't you wish you had someone else to do it all? Then let Cashio's Catering handle everything so you can enjoy the boil. Cashio's Catering and their staff of chefs, bartenders, and servers are the experts for everything from large company outings to small get-togethers. Go to Cashio's.com and put your fun back into the crawfish party while Cashio's does the rest. Cashio's Catering. What you waiting for? Go to Cashio's.com.
Adventure, intrigue, mystery, romance.
It's a storm of entertainment.
Enjoyed lunch with the Stapito last Friday. Took your spot over at East McAllister's Old Saint Kitchen and Tap and enjoyed the pressed pork sandwich. Maybe I'll have that again tomorrow. Jake Madison at Ola Jake's. The way to follow him over on Twitter, Locked On Pels is who he works with. Jake, what's up, man? Good afternoon. Happy Game 3 day to you.
An exciting day here in New Orleans. Can't wait for this one to tip off. And thanks for having me on today, Gus.
Are you wearing your red? The Pell has asked that everyone wear red today.
I'd be there as a media member. I'll be there. Yeah, I'm going to have a red shirt on, but I'm still going to look a little bit professional. But you can bet I'll be cheering alongside everybody there when this gets underway.
Dude, I love it. I've already seen some of the pictures, obviously, shoot around going on right now while the show's going on. And, you know, there's Boogie with the basketball in his hand. He's on the court in the walking boot. He's going to be with the team games 3 and 4. What kind of little boost do you think that might be for them here at home, plus the home crowd? Two sellouts, Jake, already in the books.
You know, I think it's definitely going to be a good thing for him. This team's already been pretty great mentally. They're really coming together. These guys seem to genuinely like each other, which isn't always the case when it comes to NBA teammates. And adding Boogie back into the mix maybe just loosens things up a little bit. You know, they're up 2-0. They probably feel the pressure to really get a win tonight to really almost end this series. Having Cousins in there, his personality and everything, hopefully just kind of relaxes him a little bit. You get some jokes flown. You go in tonight and just play and win and can kind of get on out of this series. I think Cousins just kind of adds to it, just gives them a little bit of a boost seeing their friend there.
So a week ago we spoke right before Game 1, and when you compare what you saw in Games 1 and 2 with some of the keys you told us, and you touched on Nurkic being a key, the backcourt, how Jrue Holiday was going to be able to guard Damian Lillard. Now you look at it a week later almost that we're talking. Surprised or not surprised by some of the things you saw and maybe predicted?
you know, I think we're not surprised. We've seen him following the game plan that we all thought it was going to be. You try and trap Lillard and McCollum, get the ball out of their hands, and force other guys to beat you. And they're doing that. You still thought, though, Lillard and McCollum would go out and get theirs, and they've struggled mightily in this series. And Jrue Holiday, we've been clamoring for the all-defense team, you know, looks as an all-NBA player right now with the level he's played at. And I don't think anyone was expecting to see this degree from him. So it's been phenomenal to see. You know, the game two really opened up once Nurkic left that contest with the ankle injury. It looks like he'll be playing again tonight. I think that opens things up on the defensive glass a little bit better for the Pelicans to kind of go out there, limit some of those second chance points for the Portland Trailblazers. But overall, this is all going according to plan, and Portland hasn't countered like you would have expected them to, or to the degree that they should have, because they were still largely ineffective in game two, trying to get Lillard and McCollum going. So we're going to see what the chess match will continue tonight. But I think you'll see Mo Harkless in the starting lineup. He can prevent matchup problems for the Pelicans. So it'll be interesting to see, but hopefully the Pelicans are going to be prepared for that.
Yeah, you know, when he entered the game, he was an immediate impact on the glass and also hitting down some shots. I'm with you. I think that's definitely something you see, and especially you don't know what the injury thing is with Nurkic, right?
You know, I don't think he was listed in the injury report. It was tweaked enough, his ankle, right, that he wasn't able, the lower leg, that he didn't come back into the game other than 3 minutes, really. So I think that's a big thing. Hopefully for the Pelicans, it'll keep him out. He's done a good job of controlling Anthony Davis to a degree, particularly on the defensive side, where Davis all of a sudden now can't get into the paint. If you play him a little bit more physically, he's got to settle for those mid-range jumpers, which are less effective. That's worked fairly well in keeping Davis a little bit quiet. And then on the offensive side, Nurkic, when they run a high pick and roll between Damian Lillard and Nurkic, it sucks Anthony Davis out of the paint, because Nurkic can play make from the top a little bit. So when he's setting those screens for Lillard, you've got to respect that. You've got to go out and cover him. And it takes away that weak side, that help defense that Anthony Davis is so good at, meeting guys at the rim after rotating over and blocking their shot. He's not able to do that when he's out on the perimeter. When the other players, Aminu, Turner, screened for Damian Lillard, you didn't see much of anything going on, and no one was able to drive into the paint because Anthony Davis was back lower. I think that's a big key, is keeping Anthony Davis right around the rim, trying to prevent him from roaming too far away, and cross-matching if you have to make that happen.
You mentioned a pick and roll there. Got two final quick questions for Jake Madison here at Locked On Pels. Damian Lillard kind of suggested maybe they have to try to do something different, make it harder for Jrue Holiday. And we saw in the first two games, whenever he wanted the drive to the basket's there for Jrue. Do you think they tried to maybe do what the Pels have done to Damian Lillard and CJ McCollum, try to give him some traffic and some big bodies to run around at the three-point arc? And how do you think the Pels would counter that?
You know, yeah, that's what you're going to look for them to try and do. And to the point of how much Jrue Holiday has hurt this Blazers team, in game one, they played Shabazz Napier a good amount of minutes. And this is a guy, their backup point guard, who plays over 20 minutes per game. They did not play him at all in game two. That's how badly that Jrue Holiday took him to the rack in game one, that he was unplayable in game two. So they need to find something out to slow Jrue Holiday down. Otherwise, they might get swept in this series. I think you will see some more traps on the perimeter. But if you do that, then you have Anthony Davis, who's going to be matched up one-on-one. And it's almost a pick-your-poison situation for the Portland Trailblazers. Do you want to slow down Jrue Holiday, or do you want to slow down Anthony Davis? If Davis is on and hitting shots, you're not going to be able to kind of slow down Holiday, run him through as many screens on the perimeter. So as long as Davis comes out firing early, and he had a couple quiet quarters in game two, I think that really opens things up even more for the Pelicans and takes some of the pressure off Jrue Holiday to kind of finish the game out maybe in the second half, in the fourth quarter, where he might be the focal point.
All right, so obviously we know the principal characters on there, but look, Ian Clark, Darius Miller, those two threes in the game, the loose ball hustle that led to the two big threes by Rondo and Holiday. It's always going to be a moment in the game that is somebody off the bench, perhaps, or somebody else that didn't have a big game. I don't know why I'm feeling an Etuan Moore effect in game three.
You know, he's been very good so far this series, particularly on the defensive side of the ball. You haven't seen it as much on the offensive side, mainly because they're trying to get the ball to Davis and Holiday more, and Rondo doing his thing. They certainly need him, and he's going to get some very open looks tonight. They'll trap Jrue Holiday on the perimeter, meaning there's going to be someone else open. And if Etuan Moore's there in the corner or somewhere else on the perimeter, he's going to get a lot of open threes tonight. And if he's making them, he's going to have an absolutely huge game. Another guy to keep an eye on off the bench for the Pelicans, though, might be Cheick Diallo. In game one, Portland had about 21 second chance points. I think it was off 15 offensive rebounds. They did most of their damage there against the reserve unit for the Pels. It was with the second unit when you have Zach Collins and Pat Connaughton coming in. They did their work there. But in game two, you saw when Anthony Davis was on the bench, the Pelicans actually outscored the Blazers by 1 point. You can break even on the time that Anthony Davis is on the bench. You will take that and you will be thrilled. You're not going to lose those minutes there. Diallo's going to need to be on the glass and active tonight because Portland's going to look to try and reclaim that advantage and go back to what happened in game one. If Diallo rebounds really well with this second unit and does a little bit of rim protection, the Pelicans are in really good shape tonight.
And we all know that in the playoffs, the ancillary players, the guys off the bench tend to play better at home, a little more relaxed, can really use the energy of the crowd. And that's one thing we've seen him do. Use that energy off the bench, especially when he started seeing more playing time towards the end of the season. Good take there, Jake. You can follow Jake Madison at Nola Jake over on Twitter. Locked On Pels, the best podcast. And of course, LockedOnPels.com for the info. Enjoy the game tonight. Look pro, but wear your red, my friend.
Well, we're going to have some fun. You'll definitely hear me screaming during this one.
No doubt, man. Enjoy it. Thank you, buddy. When we come back, Steve Worthy, CEO and Tournament Director of the Zurich Classic, a week away from round number one. We'll chat with him about how that field has shaped up next. You're listening to the Sports Hangover brought to you by the King Firm. As they always bring you our number one, don't play the game of claims with insurance companies. If you've been injured in an accident, ring the King, 504-909-KING or kinginjuryfirm.com. You're listening to ESPN New Orleans.
Welcome back. Sports Hangover is always brought to you by the King Firm in our number one. Steve Worthy, the CEO and Tournament Director of the Zurich Classic, joining us now this afternoon, a week away from round number one. Of course, lots of the action starts, though, on Monday, the Pro-Am on Wednesday and such. Steve, how are you this afternoon?
Things are rolling along, Gus.
I'm not jinxing anything, but I'm looking at the 10-day.
And it looks good. It looks good next week, Steve. I know you probably have already been looking at the 10-day, keeping an eye on the forecast. But last year, one of the storylines, obviously, was weather. But it's gorgeous outside today. And I look all the way through next Sunday. The highest temperature I see is 80. The most I see rain chance is 20. Clearly, things can change. But, Steve, I'm knocking on wood. Looks like you might get some good weather for the tournament this week.
Well, we're overdue. Last year we had 6 days and got hit on Sunday, so that was an improvement over some of our prior years. But so far the forecast looks good. I hate to say I don't put total faith in a forecast unless it's a day or two out, but at least it looks positive for now.
Yeah, no doubt about it. All right, look, obviously the field is one of the reasons folks have been flocking there, and they love the whole tournament team aspect that you guys brought in last year. When we last chatted on Media Day, we talked about how maybe this year teams and countries perhaps would be using this event as a kind of training group for a very big team event coming up, right?
That's true. We've got, we've had some teams repair from last year. We've got some Ryder Cup teams and past President's Cup teams, a lot of countrymen. And some of them are just good friends. It's been interesting to kind of, and in some cases, I'll be very honest, I'm not sure I know the connection in a couple of cases. Mm-hmm. But, they certainly have seemed to embrace the team format. They love the idea of getting to play with a buddy and rely on a partner. And, the field, I think the field reflects it. I mean, we're looking at 4 of the top 5 in the world right now, 9 of the top 14, which could still even improve between now and tomorrow afternoon. So we're excited about where we are.
When you take a look at the fact, Steve, that you got 4 of the top 5 players, 9 of the top 14 in the world, another good group coming in.
It is. I mean, it speaks to the depth of how many, and our numbers are up. If you go to the top 30, the top 50, we've got a lot of guys who've not been here either before or in a very long time. So to pull back guys like Jim Furyk, who's the Ryder Cup captain. Brant Snedeker, Zach Johnson, Matt Kuchar, none of those guys have played here in 8 or 10 years. A lot of the guys that we saw last year who are very popular and very highly ranked, I mean, Jordan Spieth, Justin Thomas, Patrick Reed coming back with the green jacket after winning the Masters, Justin Rose. It's a mixed field. It's a broad field, guys who've been here before and who haven't. A lot of our past champions are back. So it's... We're very happy with where we are on that.
When you take a look at obviously getting that kind of field into the tournament and event, we've touched on this before too. Do you think it's obviously maybe with the cup coming up as well, a chance to kind of practice play with that? Is it maybe people liked from last year the whole team event and maybe just the overall experience as we've touched on before, what it's like to play in New Orleans?
Well, I think it's a combination of things. I think it is the city. I mean, they know they're going to come here and have incredible food and incredible hospitality. They know, for those that are hoping to be on the Ryder Cup team this fall to show off something for the captain, that's always a good thing. A lot of the new players this year said they had been approached by guys who were here last year who just talked about how much fun it was. Just to have a partner, to do something different. And I think that's a huge part of that. And, one of the things that I think is going to factor into that, I mean, the buzz about it has been incredible, but doing walk-up music this year, just something else that kind of adds to the fun and will allow some of the guys to show their personality. Social media has been, I've never seen nothing related to the Zurich Classic has ever gotten as much buzz as this walk-up music thing has. And, back when I was, Yeah, no, it has really been a big deal. And, when we were exploring whether, how are the guys going to react to it? Is it something they want? And, I'd mention it to a player on the putting green, and next thing I know, they're yelling across the putting green to their partner, "What would our song be?" And, starting to buzz about it. And since we announced it officially a couple of weeks ago or 10 days ago, the buzz has been off the charts. So it's been fun. We're starting to... We've got maybe a quarter of the songs committed in right now. I think we'll see some LSU flavor, which is always fun. We'll see some different things that kind of show their personalities. But, I think it just adds one more level of fun and kind of distinguishing ourselves from everybody else. So we're looking forward to see how that plays out on Saturday and Sunday. How
are you going to do it? Small speaker right there on the first tee?
There'll be a couple of speakers. We've got a couple of tents that separate us from the ninth hole. So, other than hearing it on the practice range, it's really not going to impact anything else on the golf course. And it'll be, it'll be a 15-second clip that's just kind of representative of the song that they choose. But, it's funny to see, again, just kind of the personalities, some of the songs the older guys have selected versus some of the songs that the younger guys have selected. We'll start to put some of those out on social media either later today or tomorrow. And, it's just going to be, it's just kind of fun to see what they're thinking.
I like that. All right, look, let's close up with this, Steve. What would your walk-up song be?
Interesting. I have to say, it crossed my mind last night. Eminem has a song called "Lose Yourself." That's kind of it kind of builds in the beginning of the song. It came on the radio as I was driving home last night, and one of the few times I'm not on sports talk radio. And I thought, that wouldn't be a bad one. So if I had to choose one right now, that might be it. Somebody suggested it should be something to do with the rain, and I was not in favor of a song that mentions the rain.
Yeah, no, I'm with you. Well, look, I'm telling you, I'm looking at the Weather Channel right now, and it looks good. Looking forward to it. We'll be broadcasting live Thursday from the Champions Club, Friday from Acme. We always love those locations as well. We're going to do a show on Saturday as well out there. So we're pumped. We're ready to go. And, again, it's going to be good. You got a heck of a field lined up. Again, 4 of the top 5 players, 9 of the top 14. The tournament style is back. The team style is back. So, and walk-up music. Looking forward to it, Steve. Thanks, man.
We'll see you next week. Thanks, Gus.
Yep, for sure. Steve Worthy, CEO and Tournament Director, Pepito.